1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I hope tonight's message will maybe just bless your heart and help you. I know it's not something you might think about too much, except maybe out of curiosity in your youth, but as you get a little bit older, you start thinking about some of these things more. And I want to speak this evening on the subject of the resurrection body. The resurrection body. It just seems like I've done so many funerals this year. And I got another one this week. One of our old bus kids, just maybe 13, 14 years of age from Farnham, 15, died. Saw his obituary in the Penny Saver yesterday. And he used to come off of a little side road off out of Farnham there. 15 years of age. Died. And a lot of people that in the church, in our body of believers, have been going through some major surgeries and bodies breaking down. They say by the time you're 40 years of age, you have four major health problems that you're dealing with in your body. And it usually doesn't get better after that. But it is something we should pay attention to. But sometimes we just get a little bit tired and weary in this body. And what will our new body be like? I'd like to try to bring out some things. If you're one given to notes, maybe these will bless your heart to write them down, to think about them once in a while. We ought to think about this sometimes. It'll give us hope in some of our biggest trials and biggest troubles that ever come to our life. If we'll think about eternity and set our affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. Now, the greatest thing about eternity, of course, is that Jesus Christ will be there, all right? But underneath that somewhere in the list is the fact we're going to be there if we're saved, and we're not going to be in these bodies. And this thought ought to bring us encouragement, as it did to the old sage Job. In the book of Job, and I'll read this, chapter 19, he said in verse 25, when he was in the worst shape of his life, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Yet in my flesh, I think that got Job through his trial, that faith. He was in great consternation health-wise at this time. His body was covered with boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. But he said, you know, even if it gets worse than this, after my skin worms destroy my body, when they put my body in a grave, and as sickening as it sounds, our skin worms just eat up our body. He said, even though when the worms are done with it, when the decay and the corruption and the rot is done with it and all that is left is dust, he said this, yet in my flesh shall I see God. In my flesh shall I see God. Well, what's that going to be like? Well, the Bible is very clear about it. God is so good to us. In the Bible, he teaches us everything we need to know about life and the practice of our faith in the Word of God. Now, for those of you that don't know, most of you do know this by now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the resurrection chapter. It is the resurrection chapter of the Bible. About half of it, about the first half, a little more than the first half, is given over to the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. But then the subject changes. And in verse number 35, it no longer speaks of the resurrected Christ so much, but about us and our resurrection body. And I want to point out seven things here tonight that I hope will bless your heart and give you a little knowledge. I know a lot of what we see and what I talk about tonight is just, as Paul said, looking through a glass darkly. Do you understand that? Okay, you can't ask me what it's all about and expect me to really give you clear, concise answers. I don't know. We see through a glass darkly. All right, have you ever looked into a car that had tinted windows? Or ever looked at a building maybe you wanted to buy or a house you wanted to buy, and you're kind of looking through there and you kind of get an idea what it's like inside? That's what this life's like. We see through a glass darkly, but then it says face to face. Then shall I know even as I am known. Wow, amen. It's all going to be clear someday. So my sermon tonight is seeing through a glass darkly. But yet, as the Lord allows us to see through that glass darkly, as we study the pages of 1 Corinthians 15, there's some blessed things about the resurrection body. And so maybe yours is breaking down. Maybe you're getting a little weary of living inside of your tabernacle tonight. And you're longing for better things. And, you know, just, I don't know, there's just a part of me that just, I'm having a hard time watching Roy, you know what I mean? And just seeing that, because he was so alive and so vibrant. And I just saw him for years marching up and down the aisle as an usher of the church here for about 20 years, and it's just tough to watch. When you love somebody, that's tough to watch. But someday it's all going to be changed. And in our flesh we shall see God. Now those that are in heaven right now are not in their flesh. All right, those that are in heaven right now are not in their flesh yet. We do not get our new bodies until the resurrection of the believers in Jesus Christ, which happens at the rapture. Then the dead in Christ shall rise. Until then, when we die, we go to heaven and we exist as spirits. Okay, Janet, for instance, Roy's wife, Janet Thompson, my wife's mother. She was a saved lady. She knew the Lord as her Savior. Her faith was in Jesus Christ. She died some 8-9 years ago. I'm not sure exactly. But she has since that time existed as a spirit in heaven. But someday she'll receive her body. The Bible talks about heaven in Hebrews 12:22. It says, "But you are come unto the Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all men, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." He's talking here about heaven, and then, of course, in verse 24, don't let me leave this out, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. An innumerable number of angels is in heaven right now. The church of the firstborn, that's everybody that was ever saved, goes directly to heaven. And the spirits of just men made perfect. That's those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. So when I die someday, my spirit is going to leave my body and go to heaven. My body's going to be put into a grave out here on Route 249 in Brandt, where our lots are. And that is going to be the resting place of my body. And even though my body, my skin worms destroy my body and it turns to dust, yet in my flesh I'm going to rise out of that grave someday. A bodily resurrection. And my spirit, which is in heaven, I guess, I don't know if it's going to descend and join my body down here on earth and go back up like a yo-yo. I don't know what's going to happen. Like I say, we see through a glass darkly on some of these things. But something's going to happen that moment. And the Lord, the Creator, who made everything in 6 days, is going to miraculously make a brand new body for you and for me as believers in Jesus Christ. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So let the Bible teach us some things tonight. You know, I remember growing up, and you got all those weird pictures of people in heaven with wings and harps and halos floating around on clouds or something like that. I studied all that out. You know, there's no halos in the Bible, and there are harps, people playing harps. No believer has wings, and nobody's floating on clouds. I don't know where all this came from. But I used to look at that and say, well, it's not really that exciting. I don't know if I really want to be a part of that thing. But boy, let the Bible tonight correct our thinking. And let us not only rejoice in the resurrection of Christ, but in the redemption someday of our very bodies, which shall be changed. Now notice, the subject changes in verse 35. Let's read it. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now seeing the Bible asks the question, we ought to study it. The Bible not only asks the question, but in the rest of the chapter gives the answer of what it's going to be like, so that, you know, there's some, like Justin, who's had major surgery, and he's just a little fella, his growth is not normal, but so on and so forth. And those, you know, there's been people in wheelchairs for decades. And, man, they're going to walk in heaven. They're going to run in heaven. They're going to have new bodies. And we're not talking about some fantasy or fairy tale or opiate of a religion that makes us feel good. We're talking about what the Bible says here tonight. We're going to see the glorified body, the resurrection of the body. Let me say number one tonight, they will be different from this one. They will be different from this one. Now, those of you that are in love with yourself, that probably doesn't thrill you too much. But some of us aren't in love with ourselves. We're kind of sick of ourselves, honestly. And we're looking forward to something different. The Bible says, number one, they will be different from this one. Verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. Let me read that again, verse 37. Thou sowest not that body that shall be. Now he's comparing our death to planting grain and wheat and so on. Jesus did that too, except a corn of wheat die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it beareth fruit and so on and so forth. But I want you to notice number one in verse number 37, it says this, thou sowest not that body that shall be. And so point number one is this, they will be different from this one here. This is called in 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 1 and 2, our house in heaven. So we're not going to have the same body that we have. We may have the same looks. I'll get that as somehow we'll be recognizable. I'll get to that at a later point. But the body that goes into the grave is not the same one that shall be. And then number two, they will be celestial bodies. They will be celestial bodies. Verse 38, he says, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. I want you to notice in verse 40, and look down at verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, that's the terrestrial, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, that's the celestial. So number two, they will be celestial bodies. That word celestial means heavenly. They will be heavenly bodies, as we see in verses 48 and verses number 49. They're no longer going to be terrestrial bodies. They're going to be changed. Verse number 52 says this, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. Now, John touched on this once. He said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. for we shall see him as he is. John also is speaking through a glass darkly. He says, he says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. He says, I don't know for sure, John's saying, what we're going to be like. But he says, I know this, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Now, did they recognize Jesus Christ after his resurrection when he walked the earth? Sure they did. But he was in a magnificent body. He still had shed his glory to come back for 40 days on earth after he rose from the dead. But it was a body, and we'll get to this in a moment, it was a body of flesh and bones. He told his followers, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And yet even though he was a body of flesh and bones, what does it say about his body? He vanished. And he appeared in a room with the doors being shut. He didn't even open the doors. I know that sounds like something crazy from Hollywood, but the Bible's around before Hollywood was. And there was something just magnificent about his body. It was a physical body. I mean, brethren, we're going to be in physical bodies, and this will be one of my points later, when we're in heaven, physical bodies. They'll be different than this, but I believe just as they could recognize Jesus, so we will recognize each other. And we'll be able to shake hands with each other, hug each other. I don't know what all we're going to do as means of endearment and so on and so forth up there. Maybe holy kiss or something like that. But there's going to be a physical aspect. They are celestial bodies. They are heavenly bodies. Much like Jesus Christ's resurrected body. Now, we're not going to be deities like him. He's God and he alone, right? All right? But we're going to be like him. Now notice, third of all, they will be different in glory. Number one, they will be different from our current body. Number two, they will be celestial bodies, not terrestrial, not made out of the dirt anymore. Not going back to dust, but celestial bodies, more like what angels have and what Jesus has. Celestial, heavenly bodies. But number three, they will be different in glory. We're not all just going to be equal. I want you to notice something here that's unique about your resurrection body. It says here in verse number 41, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. Would you say the glory of the sun is different than the glory of the moon? Did you know you could take a million Earths and stick them inside of the sun? That's how big the sun is. We think the Earth's big. But you take a million of the, I mean, our Earth doesn't even look like a BB next to a basketball compared to the sun. And the moon's a whole lot smaller than the sun. Now, did you know the moon's not a star? All right, it's a planet. It doesn't give forth any light. It just reflects light. There's not much glory to the moon. Now, you can look at it through a telescope pretty good. It's just a pitted mess is what it is. Been bombarded by a bunch of craters and or meteors and stuff, showers. I mean, the glory of the sun is so vastly different than the glory of the moon. That's what he's trying to say here in verse 41. For one star differeth from another star in glory. The sun is a star, but did you know our sun, we could take a million of our Earths, put it inside of our sun, but did you know there's stars out there that you can take a million of our suns and stick them inside of those stars? They're so vastly different in glory. And by the way, do you see the amazing scientific statement made here? In verse 41, that was inspired by the Holy Ghost for the Apostle Paul's hand before there ever was a telescope. When did we figure out that the stars differ in glory? When Jesus walked the earth, they only thought there was 1,028 stars. Ptolemy came along and found 28 more, and then he said there's 1,056 stars. That's what they thought when Christ walked the earth, when Paul wrote this. That's what scientists thought. Now we know that there's more stars than there are in the sands of the sea. Ken Hovind says there's about 300 trillion stars known right now for every human being to have. People selling stars, boy, they rip off artists. There's 300 trillion you can have, and everybody else can have all the rest they want per person. And the glory of some of these stars makes our sun look like nothing. This is a biblical statement where God's trying to teach us a lesson that should mobilize us and motivate us to serve the Lord tonight. Let's read on. Verse 42, he just gets done talking about the stars. The sun's different from glory than the moon. The stars are different in glory. They're all different in glory. And he says this, verse 42, get this. So also is the resurrection of the dead. We're different in glory. We are different in glory. Just as the sun is different from the moon, there are going to be some people, and I don't understand this. I have no clue what this means. I see through a glass darkly. But there are some people who are going to just outshine others. There is going to be different degrees of glory in heaven based upon what a person thought was important down here on earth. There is not going to be equality. Our Lord clearly taught in Matthew 19 and verse 30 and many other places, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Our eternal standing will be different based on our service for Christ and our motive in this life. When we get to heaven, the Bible says in Matthew 18 and verse number 4, it says these words, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be different degrees of honor and glory in all of heaven. Daniel 12 and verse 3 says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So here's the way I see it. In heaven, there's a big line of people. First person in line closest to God is the humblest person that ever lived. Second person in line closest to God is the second humblest person that ever lived. Third person in line closest to God is the third humblest person that ever lived. And you get the point. All the proud people are at the back. We ought to pursue humility. The Lord said, whoever's going to be humble, whoever's going to be the servant, shall be the greatest. Let other people quit, but you don't quit. You keep serving the Lord. You keep serving the Lord humbly. You keep winning souls. They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars. How long? Forever and ever. Jack Hiles used to sign his name in people's Bibles sometimes before he died. He'd always write down Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Got it right here in my Bible as he signed it. Daniel 12, verse 3. They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. Maybe others don't want to win souls, but you keep after them. Try to win one here and 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 one here. And if others don't want to, or if others want to criticize your methods, let them criticize your methods. You just keep winning souls to Christ. Do we understand tonight eternity is going to be a lot for a long time? Do we understand that? And what you do in this little puny tiny bit that you call life is going to determine your eternal standing forever and ever and ever. And mine. Now, I know our motive shouldn't be to have a better standing, right? But I don't want to be a dimwad bulb up there or something. You know, I don't know how this works, but I'd like for someone to look at me and say, man, that man must have loved God. He must have done something with his life. He must have tried to win some souls or something. Don't you want that? That's what we should want. There's going to be a difference in glory. Number four, they will be incorruptible. They will be incorruptible. In verse 42, it tells us this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. We just covered that, different glories. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. We put it in the grave, it's sown in corruption. It's skin worms. It's putrid. We got to put them in the grave within a few days. The Jews bury their loved ones within 24 hours. Because it just right after death, the blood quits flowing and the body just rots because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And we see them, you know, a week later because we got these embalming techniques and so on and so forth down, and we can preserve the bodies. We can stick them in cold storage and bring them out. And we got all that down nowadays. But not when the Bible is written. It's sown in corruption. It's a disgusting thing. As I mentioned earlier, those that are 40 years of age average 4 major health problems. But it's raised. It's raised in incorruption. It will be an incorruptible body. That means not capable of being corrupted. Or as it says in Revelation chapter number 21 and verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Nobody will ever have a migraine again. Nobody will ever have a headache. Nobody will ever get old or aged. No more eye problems, no more heart problems, no more diabetes, no more leukemia, no more hospitals, no more doctors, no more medical clinics, no more taking your blood pressure or your sugar count or anything else like that. It's all over. No more glasses, no more hearing aids. It's incorruptible. And it's forever. Forever is a long time. Incapable of being corrupted. Now, these things I'm describing, we don't deserve any of this. We just kind of get this as a gift that goes along with salvation. But we're going to have an incorruptible body someday. Thank the Lord for that tonight. And then notice they will be spiritual. Now, here's where a little bit of confusion comes in with the cults and everything. In verses 43 and 44, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. We talked about the glory back in verses 40 and 41. But then notice this. It is sown a natural body, verse 44. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Almost every cult denies the bodily resurrection of Christ first and also denies the bodily resurrection of the believer. And this is the verse they base their doctrine on. But that's not what it's talking about. This is a blessing right here when you understand what verse number 44 says. There is it is sown a natural body. When it's put in the grave, it's sown a natural body. But praise God, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And what do we mean by this? Talking about a spiritual body. It's not talking about the spirits. Look down at verse 46. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. What's it saying? Here's what it's saying. When it talks about the natural body, that is talking about you and I in our current state. We are naturally prone to sin. It's talking about, for instance, where the Apostle Paul wrote over in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 about the natural body when he said this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. When this is talking about it is sown, it's buried, a natural body, it means that it is buried as a body that is prone to sin. I remember one godly preacher I knew, he said something kind of, well, can't say it encouraged me, but I'm glad he said it. He said, I wish I could just roll out of bed one day and be spiritually minded. But I got to fight off the flesh and I got to fight off my carnal nature every single morning of my life before I ever get out of bed. That's the natural body. When it says our resurrected body is spiritual, it means the very opposite. Whereas our bodies now are always prone towards sin and the flesh and carnality, forever our body will always be prone towards that which is spiritual. To think about spiritual things. First thing on our minds, I don't even know if we'll sleep up there, but Isaiah 57 seems to indicate there's rest in verses 1 and 2. I'm looking through a glass darkly, I don't know. Don't want to get dogmatic, but if we did sleep in heaven, first thought we'd have when we wake up is about God, about spiritual things. That thing you fight every day of your life, you'll never fight again. Those weaknesses, those vices, those temptations, that carnality you're prone to, that I'm prone to, whatever your weaknesses might be different than mine, but you know what I'm talking about. That day by day by day battle. You'll never be prone up there to gossip. You'll never be prone up there to think a filthy thought. You'll never be prone up there to want to give in to some vice or addiction. That'll be gone forever. The nature, what it's saying here, number five, the nature of your new body will be a spiritual nature. Praise the Lord. You'll never be confessing your sin. You know, you ever know, is it just me, got to confess your sins all the time? Aren't you getting a little sick of that? I am. I'm getting sick of confessing my sins. I'll never confess my sins up there again. Forever. We'll have a spiritual nature about our new bodies. Forever. This is the worst it's ever going to be for us. It's in this life. Praise God, we'll be spiritual. We'll be spiritual in heaven. Number six, they will be physical. I touched on this already, but verse 49 says, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, the Lord's clear about this. That good physician Luke one time wrote these words about Jesus after he rose from the dead. I think I quoted this earlier in the sermon. Can't remember, my memory getting shorter, amen? But in Luke chapter 24 and verse 39, Jesus said, when he rose from the dead and he showed himself to his disciples that he was alive, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? I like this part. Remember we're talking about eating this morning? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. You see? This is his resurrected body. We're going to eat. It's a body of flesh and bones. It's a physical body. Are we going to recognize each other? Well, they recognized Moses and Elijah in Matthew 17, verse 3. They recognize Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. They recognize Lazarus and the beggar after they had died in Luke chapter 16 and verse number 23. They all recognize Jesus after he rose from the dead and made himself known to them. They recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do those strange questions come from? I think it comes from the devil trying to keep us from enjoying our inheritance. Of course we're going to recognize each other in heaven. Praise the Lord, that's going to be one of the great things about it. When you die and see your loved ones that have preceded you in death, maybe even some children that died, miscarried or whatever, surprise, surprise, and you see Jesus, you see Peter and James and John and Philip and all those people, can't wait to see them. Can't wait to meet them. Man, I don't want to go to heaven unfamiliar with the Bible. You know that? I want to know them guys. Hey, Habakkuk, you got a funny name. But boy, I read your book over and over and over again. That was something. How you had that little debate with God, and then finally you just yielded and resigned yourself to the fact that God was doing righteous, and you got so fired up about it in chapter 3, you wrote a song. That was wonderful. I'd like to meet some of those people. Heaven's going to be a real place. Some real handshaking and backslapping going on. Some rejoicing. It's going to be loud. If you don't like loud, too bad. Change. But it's going to be loud. We're going to be in a physical body. Turn here. I'm almost done. I want you to see this verse, though. You've got to turn to Philippians chapter 3. I'm almost done. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 21. Well, let's look at verse 20. This is what we're trying to do today. Look to heaven. Let's get our eyes. I know you got a tough day coming up Monday and Tuesday, but for tonight, let's look up to heaven. Verse 20, Philippians 3, for our conversation is in heaven from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What's he going to do? This is precious right here, verse 21. I don't know if you've ever been by the bedside of someone dying, but you know what this means. We shall change our vile. If you've ever seen anybody die, it's vile. I don't care if it's the richest person on earth, most famous person on earth, when they're laying in their deathbed, it's a vile thing to watch. But someday Jesus shall change our vile body. Now notice this. This is what Paul said. We already read what John said. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. It's nothing. If the Lord created everything, Colossians 1, 14 through 16 says, Jesus Christ created everything in creation in 6 days. He's not going to have any problem recreating a new body for you and I at the resurrection. And he is going to change this vile body like unto his glorious body. Like unto his glorious body. And we talked about the differences in glory. Praise the Lord for that. It will be a physical body. And last of all, they shall be immortal. Back in our text, they shall be immortal in verse 53. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, do you know what immortality means? Immortality means unceasing existence. Unceasing existence. When the Lord gives us our new body, we're going to exist in that body forever and ever and ever. It'll never be corrupted. It'll never be changed. It'll be like his glorious body, just fascinating. Jesus said in Luke 20, verse 36, neither can they die anymore. For they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Don't you love those words? Neither can they die anymore. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Oh, it's going to be glorious. You know, as I said earlier, I don't know what I'm talking about tonight. Just through a glass darkly. What a blessing it is to be saved. What a blessing to have these questions answered by the Lord. And I know that some of the things I've said probably have bred maybe more questions than answered tonight. But in verse 35, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, we had a question, with what body do they come? With what body do they come? Some of you are struggling. Some of you are in pain. Some of you are disabled. Some of you have problems with your eyes, your ears, kinds of health problems. You don't even know what's wrong with us. Most of us don't know what's wrong with us, even yet. But someday it's all going to be changed. After our skin worms destroy this body, yet in our flesh shall we see God. going to ask the pianos to play. I don't know how to have an invitation about this tonight. Maybe just this season of Thanksgiving. You want to kneel down by the chair you're at or come to this altar as the pianos play a song of invitation. Just the choir said, I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you. Man, do we have a glorious future ahead of us. And we're one Sunday closer now, amen? We're one Sunday closer than we've ever been before. To this truth that I try to describe tonight. Perhaps with a thankful heart, you'd want to just come and say, Lord, I don't know what that's going to be like, but I thank you for it. What a future. What a future for the child of God. What a future. Are you saved, man? Think what the Bible says about the body. For the lost person in hell in the lake of fire forever, compared to what we described tonight for the saved. You need to be saved. Is there one that raised your hand tonight and say, Pastor, pray for me. I know you know me and people think I'm saved, but I know I'm not. I want to be saved. I want to make sure I go to heaven. Main thing is to see Jesus and thank him forever. But after we talked about his resurrection body, Paul changed the subject by the Holy Ghost, began to talk about our resurrected body. Is there anyone saying, pray for me. I need to be saved. Man, I want to go to heaven. Anybody raise your hand right up? Let me see. As the pianos are playing, maybe you want to just, God should lead you, stand to your feet, step out to the aisle, come down here, kneel and pray. Thank you.